The home of the Michael Savage Show.
Welcome to the Edward Woodson Show, shining a spotlight on the media minions and redistributing the truth. And now, here's your fair share of the truth, brought to you by your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome. I am the truth redistributionist. I'm going to give you your fair share today because you're entitled to it. The growing threat of Greece's exit from the Eurozone rattled financial markets yesterday as investors dumped stocks worldwide and moved to the safety of U.S. and German government bonds. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell more than 350 points. Or 2%, its biggest percentage decline since October, putting the blue chip index into negative territory for the year. Stock markets across Europe dropped, many suffering their worst routs in years. Italian stocks fell more than 5%, and Germany's DAX index slid 3.6%. The yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury note tumbled to its biggest one-day decline since November 1st. Now, let me just explain something to you. We are on the brink right now of a global financial crisis. Because not only do you have this Greek situation, okay? Not only do you have that, you've got China. China's stocks have been in a free fall since June 12th. They've fallen 20% in the last couple weeks. That hasn't been reported. We haven't been hearing about that until now. Desperate Chinese officials are now scrambling to stop the implosion and restore the bubble. And so the People's Bank of China made a major move, cutting interest rates sharply to a record low. Does that sound familiar? This makes more money available to the banks, which officials hope will flow into the stock market and prop up stock prices. Wonder where they got that from. According to Zero Hedge, the policy easing should be viewed as a measure to contain the risk of a hard landing or systemic crisis rather than one to achieve faster growth. In this case, the stronger-than-expected monetary easing may help stem the decline in the equity market following a 10.6% drop over the past 2 trading days. 2 days! The positive wealth effect of the equity market on consumption or aggregate demand is limited in China, but an equity market collapse would hurt millions of mid-class households and pose a greater danger to the economy and social stability. In other words, the purpose of this policy measure is to prop up the stock market. But it will have little effect on growth. They're just trying to prop up the market. Okay. In addition to that, you've got Puerto Rico.
Are you ready for the biggest bank heist in history?
What happened? That's about right.
Oops.
Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico's governor Alejandro García Padilla has announced that the island territory will be unable to pay off its $72 million in debts. $72 billion in debts. Now, I want you to put this in perspective here. Remember Detroit when Detroit went bankrupt and they had to be bailed out? Detroit owed $18 billion that they couldn't make. $18 billion. Puerto Rico, $72 billion in debt. $72 billion. Okay?
This is what the governor said. The debt is not payable. There is no option. I would love to have an easier option. This is not politics. This is math. Okay? Now, people that have invested in Puerto Rican bonds because they pay 10% interest, 10%, which is huge. It's a sweet deal. But now, if Puerto Rico goes bankrupt, guess what? Sounds good, right? Wrong! You don't get any of it. So, in addition to that, then let's go back to Greece. Greece, basically, their banks will be closed indefinitely. That's what they've said. Indefinitely. European central banks, basically, they Greek owes a ton of money. They have an initial payment due on Tuesday, which it looks as though they're going to default.
I think it's 6 o'clock today.
Is it 6 o'clock today? Okay, today. Their initial payment they owe. They're not going to pay that. Yesterday I'm watching on CNBC. By the way, CNBC is so full of it. It's amazing when you watch CNBC, because I was watching it as the markets were going down. And everybody on CNBC is like, well, you know, this isn't that bad, and the market's priced this in, and we've got a really good jobs report. And the
economy's... Buy, buy, buy.
Yeah, buy, buy, buy. And that's the thing that you got to realize is when you watch this stuff, you know, CNBC, they're in the business of, what are they doing? Selling. Like, have you ever heard, seriously, have you ever heard a stock guy, a guy that sells equities, have you ever heard a guy that sells equities ever tell you, hey, you know what, maybe you shouldn't buy today? No.
Wants to make that commission.
They never tell you that. They never, ever tell. It's same with real estate. Like, you talk to people that sell real estate. And it didn't matter what the market was doing. And I remember this, 2008. 2008, 2007, the run-up, the bubble. It's a good time to buy. It's always a good time to buy. Always. Always a good time to buy. They never, ever tell you that maybe you should chill out right now. Okay? So you have now... This, all these events at the same time. You got China's market has basically crashed 20%. That's bear market territory, hate to tell you. So, you've got, and remember how we were told before, not too long ago, how China was, the economic miracle. Remember that? And the emerging markets like Brazil. Brazil, by the way, Brazil's in a recession. All these emerging markets. And again, and I mentioned this yesterday. Remember how the euro was so great? I mean, one of the greatest metaphors was, again, and I mentioned this yesterday, Jay-Z wearing his Che Guevara t-shirt and taking pictures of himself with euros. So you've got China, Puerto Rico, and Greece. And let me explain something to you. And I've been saying this. If you listen to my show, I've been saying this for a while. Greece is just the beginning. Because Greece is just the first domino. Because you're seeing bank runs in Greece now. So that's why they've closed the banks. Now here's what's going to happen next. Greece is going to default. They're going to leave the euro. But everybody at CNBC and those guys are like, well, no, it's going to be better. If they leave the euro, it'll make the euro stronger. That was the spin yesterday. It's going to make the euro stronger. Meanwhile, there was a sell-off on everything yesterday. It's going to make the euro stronger. They actually were trying to spin this as good news. It's good news. It's okay. pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. But here's what's going to happen next. And the key is going to be this. When Italy and Spain and Portugal, you know, the Club Med of Europe, when those people start lining up at the ATMs and the banks to pull out their money, because they're going to want to get their euros out, then we got a problem. Okay? Then we have a problem. For sure. We've got Bob Ney from Talk Radio News out of Washington, D.C., former congressman from Ohio. Bob, you know, yesterday I was watching CNBC, and all the guys on CNBC weren't particularly concerned about what was going on yesterday in Greece. They were actually saying, no, this is good because it's going to make the euro stronger.
The White House announced that it doesn't affect us at all. So we're so strong in the economy, we don't have to worry.
Well, yeah, I heard that yesterday, too. I heard that actually I heard some guy who's just full of crap say that, well, we've got the economy's doing well and we've got strong jobs reports. I'm like, the economy's doing well. We had a contraction last quarter. It's actually everything is always you know, brought down. All these numbers, you know, they always revise them down. You ever notice that? They always revise them down later, but you never notice that. Even if you, well, most people aren't even paying attention anyway.
Well, we don't have true unemployment numbers anyway in this country. You know, we don't. If we did, there'd be a revolution if we actually revealed them all the time. But on top of it, the president comes in, and now he's going to save and help our economy further. Edward, as you know, he's going to have an overtime rule now, and he's going to protect the white-collar workers of America.
Well, that's – and I just heard that as I was coming in this morning. I think what – I heard it was if you work over 30 hours. Is that correct?
Well, what it is, the $23,000 is the cutoff. If you're salaried, you know you're salaried, you work extra hours, and after a certain amount of pay, $23,000 a year, then you'll get some overtime. Now it goes up to $54,000. So, you know – first of all, why have salaried workers where you're paying 54 and then they have an hour over? That's not why you go into salary anyway. But he's just doing, he did it in Wisconsin, where Governor Scott Walker's from, and he did it a week after he trampled all over labor with the trade bill. So, you know, it's, but I look at this whole, the whole economy thing, and you're right. When you really look at it, you know, here, if he's successful on these types of rules, He will readjust, quote, our economy as we know it.
Well,
this is a big deal.
It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. And to say that, you know, again, you've got all these trade deals, right? And one of the things that we're always led to believe is that global trade is a good thing. Global trade is going to be good for us. And so to say then that this isn't going to affect us is insanity, because the we're all in now with global trade. So it, obviously, if China goes down, if the situation with Greece begins, if you have quote-unquote contagion, then that's a problem, I think, for the U.S. markets. And then you've got the dollar rising, which, you know, people say, oh, that's good. It's not good.
Well, you're right, and we could do an hour-long show on the trade deal, because it will be up to President Obama and his administration to keep it fair as this deal goes forward. It won't happen. They will do what they want at our ports, and we will be restricted at theirs. That's history.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, if you look at a measure of economic health, and you look at gross domestic product, for instance. I mean, we have we've got abysmal growth in this country. I mean, people talk about the last 6 years and how the economy's come back. We've averaged less than 2% growth. That's abysmal. That's abysmal growth. That's no growth.
And when you get the top conservatives warning us about this, and then you get Bernie Sanders on the other end warning us about this. There's got to be something to it when those two have met somewhere along the line. And nobody, I mean, people just, they keep doing this, and we lose. We lose on it because we don't carry out trade bills in the proper way. We lose.
No. I mean, look at NAFTA. What a nightmare that's been for the United States. And, you know, look at, I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, this is the beginning. And I have no doubt that the euro will collapse. And I'm sorry, but it is going to affect us no matter what the White House says. All right, Bob, I got to run, but thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
We'll be right back.
This is not lecturing.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Retire without worrying about money. Wouldn't it be great if you could retire without having to worry about running out of money? Wayne Candace, the top financial advisor in the country for MetLife, also a certified financial planner practitioner and host of Your Financial Plan, can help. Wayne will even meet with you one-on-one, free of charge, to help you develop a strategy that fits your lifestyle. Stop wondering if you'll have enough to retire on. Schedule your no-cost financial strategy session with Wayne Candace today. Call 480-ON-TAP-88 now. Due to high demand, a limited amount of appointments are available. Call to book yours before we book up. Dial 480-ON-TAP-88. That's 480-ON-TAP-88. The plan for your retirement and financial future is only a call away. Dial 480-ON-TAP-88. That's 480-ON-TAP-88.
Metropolitan Life Insurance Company, securities, products, and investment advisory services are offered by MetLife Securities, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. MLIC and MSI. Or MetLife companies.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
So the question is, can America be far behind Greece? That is the question here. And I've always said this. And to quote the great Margaret Thatcher, socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. Greece is running out of other people's money. And so you have all this turmoil in Greece right now. And you have to ask yourself, is this going to affect us or not? How is this going to affect us? Is America going to be affected by Greece?
Ultimately, yes.
I think so. Now, let me explain something to you. One measure of the financial health of a country is the ratio of the debt to the gross domestic product, okay? So simply put, it is the percentage of what we owe compared to everything we produce in our economy, okay? So the more you borrow as a percentage of your economy, the more difficult it is to service your debt and grow your country. Kind of like what you do at home every day, okay? Greece has a serious problem because their debt to GDP ratio is 177.10%, 177%, okay? That means the government is borrowing 77.1% more than everything that happens in the Greek economy. Think about that for a minute. That's all the exports, everything that goes on within the country, wages, salaries, corporate profits, everything. They're spending more than they bring in at a rate of 77.1%. That means they're spending 77 cents more than every dollar they bring into the government. Okay? Think about that for a minute. We've got a caller from Miami, Todd. Hey, Todd, thanks for listening to the show, and thank you for calling.
Good morning, Edward. Do you think the average American deserves a grade above a D- in economic literacy? And I'll ask this in the sense of we've got a presidential election coming up. I don't think the average American has any clue that we're staring at our future with what's going on in Greece with the economic entitlement mentality that is so pervasive. Everybody wants something. People want to retire at 50 years old there. How can we sustain our country when that's the direction we're going? And if the Republicans or any elected official wants to have a chance of getting elected, I think they need to talk in broader strokes to the American people because they don't get it. There's a reason why Donald Trump is resonating to some extent as a candidate because he speaks the truth. You talk about jobs. You talk about, you know, the situation with China. They're kicking our butts, and I'll hang up and let you comment. But I just think that there's a level of stupidity because people don't get what's going on. And I'll let you comment. Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling. And that's absolutely true. You make a great point. The problem is that people don't want to hear the truth, right? They don't want to hear the truth. You can't handle the truth, to quote the great Jack Nicholson. You can't handle the truth. And that's why politicians lie all the time. And that's why nobody talks about this stuff, because you know it's boring. Talking about financial stuff is boring. And so that's why politicians constantly lie. And nobody talk. And I talk about this all the time. Nobody talks about spending. We're $18 trillion in debt. $18 trillion in debt. You think we're ever going to pay that back? No. We're just going to keep printing money. But you know, if a politician comes out and says the truth, and I agree with the caller, and that is why Donald Trump is resonating to a certain extent, because of the fact that people are tired. They know they're being lied to. They're sick of Washington. And they hate politicians because they basically constantly lie to us. And without Barack Obama, there is no Donald Trump. Think about it. Hope and change. Neither of which happened. So I want to get back to this this GDP ratio. So if Greece is spending 77 cents more than every dollar they're bringing in. So think about that for a minute. So they're bringing in a dollar, but they're spending $1.77. Yeah, how long can you do that for? Okay. Currently.
Till the credit card runs out.
Exactly. Exactly. But see, the credit card ain't going to run out because you can just, the United States can print more money. European central banks are printing more money. Everybody's printing more money.
Yeah, but at some point, the in my opinion, the value of the dollar is going to lessen, and it's going to be the Weimar Republic all over again.
Well, we're going to get to that in a second. Actually, you make a really good point, and that sets up the segue for what I'm going to talk about in a minute. But let's talk about the United States. And the United States, if Greece is, again, like I just told you, if Greece is spending $1.77 and they're taking in a dollar, the government, think about it, they're taking in a dollar, government's taking in for every dollar, they're spending $1.77. The United States has a debt of GDP of 101%. Okay? In 2009, when President Obama took office, the ratio was 76%. Which means we had income greater than debt in 2009. Okay? The current debt outstanding in the United States is in excess of $18 trillion and growing.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is I've been reading it's been holding for like 3 or 4 weeks now. It's $18 trillion.
Right, it's a lot. That's a lot. So when you look at entitlements and couple that with debt service, the United States is currently spending 66% of its total budget on the entitlements and 6.3% on the interest expense for a total of 72.23%. Okay? So think about that. So there's also one myth that I'd like to clear up in terms of our federal budget. Many people believe that China is the largest purchaser of U.S. debt. Now, if you can believe the Congressional Budget Office, that statement is not true. This is from the Congressional Budget Office. The largest purchaser of U.S. debt is the Social Security Administration. So, basically, we're selling the lion's share of our debt to ourselves. Okay? So not only is the Social Security Trust Fund in trouble, we're basically approaching Greece. And the Social Security Fund could be holding worthless securities. Now, we've seen this for a while now in terms of, like, bonds, for instance. And this is the crazy thing with, like, for instance, quantitative easing. And I'm going to break this down to you real simple. So the U.S. sells their bonds, okay? And the interest rate was so low that nobody was buying our bonds, okay? 30-year bonds, 10-year bonds, that's how governments finance stuff for infrastructure and all those other good things. So nobody was buying our bonds, so you know what we did? And we've never done this before. Nobody's ever done this before. Well, I'm sorry. They have done it. They did it in the Weimar Republic. We just started printing money to buy our own bonds. Think about the craziness of that. That's what quantitative easing is, by the way. So, you know, when you think about quantitative easing and you go, well, what's that, you know? That's basically, we were printing money, the Federal Reserve, printing money. Our central banks printing money so that we could buy our own bonds, because nobody's buying our own bonds. These are bonds that are issued by the government. So we're printing our own money to buy our own bonds. Think how crazy that is. But yet, this is how we have financed everything.
Yeah, and it's all fiat currency, too. There's no backing to it. It's just a house of confidence cards.
Exactly. Exactly. And so then you talk about, you know, that's why I listen to, again, these pundits, and I listened to CNBC yesterday. And they're like, oh, no, this is fine. There's nothing wrong here, nothing to see here. It's all good. You know, the economy is doing very well. How is the economy doing very well? We had last quarter we had a contraction, first quarter of the year. We had a contraction. You get two of those in a row and you're talking recession. But I guarantee you that when they come out with the numbers, they won't come out with, you know, if you notice, it's just barely, they have barely a little bit of growth. They'll go, you know, you'll have one quarter that'll be a contraction, and then the next quarter will be like, oh, we grew 1.8%. Just barely. It's just enough that you can call it, you can say that we're not in a recession. But,
and you know they're cooking the books to get that.
Of course they're cooking the books, man. I'm telling you, this, what's happening right now is really scary. And you think to yourself, wow, we're not Greece. We actually are headed right towards Greek territory. Just something to think about. What were you going to say, Steve?
Wasn't going to say anything.
No. You look like you got something on your mind there. I mean, it's just... and you know what? Today, probably the market will be up. but we shall see. I'm going to go on a quick break. I'll be right back.
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah, baby. It was all a dream. I used to
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Back, Mr. Magic Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Slipping on private stock way back when I had the red and black lumberjack.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Robin Walensky. Americans under attack. A suicide bomber tries to kill our troops in Afghanistan. The Taliban taking responsibility for attacking a convoy in Kabul, a half a mile from the U.S. Embassy. A terrorist blowing himself up outside a mosque as afternoon prayers getting underway. Glass and metal all over the road. Two U.S. Humvees hit. One civilian killed. More than 20 people hurt.
I get accused a lot of times of being too blunt and too direct.
Politics front and center this Tuesday, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie returning to his roots to announce he's running for president. Christie will be at his alma mater, Livingston High School. Jeb Bush, who is leading the Republican candidates in polls, expected to release 33 years of tax returns today to show transparency. Ahead of the 4th of July holiday, lots of warnings about the potential for a terrorist attack. Here's the Blaze Radio's Tom Peace.
I wouldn't be surprised if we're sitting here a week from today talking about an attack over the weekend in the United States. That's how serious this is.
That's former CIA Deputy Director and CBS Senior Security Contributor Michael Morrell. Police agencies across the country being urged to closely monitor possible terrorist threats around Independence Day. Morrell on the difficulty of catching homegrown terrorists.
It's very difficult. Because they're being radicalized in their bedrooms, in their basements.
Morrell speaking on CBS this morning.
Greece in deep debt and the situation having a ripple effect impacting the market here. The Blaze Radio's Brad James with the update.
Stocks taking a nosedive to start the week on Wall Street. Growing concerns over Greece's financial situation as that country is on the brink of financial disaster. Banks closing in Greece, people trying to withdraw money from ATMs, but many were shut down and a withdrawal limit of $66 a day is in place. When the market opens on Tuesday, the Dow is down 350 points, the Nasdaq losing 122, the S&P 500 down 44.
This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
Arizona News Radio. It was a stormy day across the state with hail in Prescott Valley the size of bird eggs. Thousands left without power in Prescott, Prescott Valley, and Wickenburg. And thousands of SRP customers in Tempe were left without power in the heat of the day due to a transformer fire. Today marks 2 years since 19 Granite Mountain hotshots were killed battling the Arnell Hill fire. The families of each victim being paid $50,000. An attorney representing them pointing out the settlement doesn't pin blame.
Our clients wanted transparency and change to ensure that what happened to their loved ones that day would never happen again.
Attorney Pat McGroeder, Supreme Court upholds the voter-approved congressional redistricting panel.
It's just wonderful that the Supreme Court has affirmed the authority of Arizona voters to do these kinds of reforms.
Mary O'Grady defending the IRC to the High Court. Opponents say the Constitution gives lawmakers that authority. Geico weather, more storm activity a possibility today, diminishing tomorrow. Jeff Scott, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. You're going to find some slowing eastbound I-10 between 67th and 59th. Also, more delays eastbound I-10, 27th Avenue into the tunnel. Also, find those brake lights tapping southbound I-17 between Glendale and Camelback. Help your child discover the magic of nature and create memories that will last a lifetime. Visit discovertheforest.org to find your forest or park near you.
From the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center, for the rest of the morning, we've got a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy skies, a low near 86. As we head into the day, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 110. Tonight, chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy, a low near 85. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 109. I'm Ron Pritchard from the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center.
Currently here in Midtown, we do have a few high clouds, a little bit of a breeze. It's 91 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. More Edward Woodson comes your way on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%! Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Now, to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It. At $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
So we mentioned the Weimar Republic earlier, and that was the government after World War One that was set up in Germany. And the parallels between the Weimar Republic, Greece, and America are striking, because everything Greece has done, everything that we're doing, we've seen this before. In Greece, they are bracing for social unrest. The ATMs are running out of cash. People are hoarding gasoline and groceries. And we've seen this before. Greece is not the first country that's done this. The Weimar Republic went down a similar path. And what they did is they decided they're going to print money and just give the rest of the world their inflated money. They didn't have any money, so they just printed it. Sound familiar? Huh? This caused hyperinflation, which crippled the economy. Then you had unemployment, food, and energy shortages, and people got desperate. And then the Weimar Republic forced their citizens to register their guns, which later allowed the government to confiscate their firearms.
It all played right. Yeah, it played right into Hitler's hands.
Played right into Hitler, because the Weimar Republic gave rise to Hitler.
Chaos in the streets, and like you say, the economy was crazy, and, you know, he said, I'll straighten this all out, just give me the power.
Yeah, and people gave him the power, nobody said anything. You know, call me crazy, and maybe none of this is going to happen, but now, what you're seeing, look, you've seen Mr. Obama here. The other day at that eulogy, by the way, you know what kills me? It's like, oh, we're so concerned about everything in terms of, we're not paying attention to what's going on because we're so concerned about, gay marriage and the Confederate flag. That's really important stuff. Mr. Obama sent out a fundraising pitch for Organizing for Action. This is a gun control organization. He sent out a fundraising pitch to stop gun violence. First, he goes to the delivers the eulogy, okay, in South Carolina. And this Organizing for America, this fundraising pitch, here's what it says. We've had to come together as a nation too many times to mourn after horrific acts of gun violence, and right now it's not good enough simply to show sympathy. Mr. Obama begins in the email. We need to acknowledge that there's more work to do, that these tragedies have become far too commonplace. This is a conversation that folks need to have, and organizers like you are the ones who will move it forward. The message continues. People across the country are stepping up, and supporters and volunteers are working to prevent gun violence. State by state, city by city, join the fight today. Those who click join the fight today are taken to a donation form immediately after entering their email address and zip code. On Friday, Mr. Obama eulogized the Reverend Clementa Pinckney by saying, as we take the time to heal in the shadow of this most recent tragedy, more needs to be done to prevent gun violence. This is what he said at the funeral. He's had a eulogy. He's giving the eulogy.
He does this at a lot of these type things. He's just a political opportunist.
It's a funeral, but he's talking about gun control. And he also said, this was earlier this year, the lack of movement in Congress on this issue is incredibly frustrating. But the refusal to act won't stop progress because of organizations like you. States like Washington and Oregon have introduced successful restrictions on gun purchases like common sense background checks. So, again, I don't want to sound like an alarmist, but this is the playbook, isn't it? What is taking guns from law-abiding citizens have to do with what happened in South Carolina?
What part of shall not be infringed don't you understand?
It's amazing to me. So the caller brought up Donald Trump. NBC announced yesterday that the company is ending its business relationship with Donald Trump due to his recent remarks about immigrants. According to a statement posted online, NBC Universal has severed ties with Trump, meaning the network will no longer air the Miss USA and Miss Universe. At NBC, respect and dignity for all people are cornerstones of our values. Trump quickly responded to NBC in his own statement Monday afternoon, not missing the opportunity to take a jab at former nightly news anchor Brian Williams. If NBC is so weak and so foolish to not understand the serious illegal immigration problem in the United States, coupled with the horrendous and unfair trade deals we're making with Mexico, then their contract violating disclosure with Miss Universe, Miss USA will be determined in court. Furthermore, they will stand behind lying Brian Williams, won't stand behind people that tell it like it is, as unpleasant as that may be. Really, what did he say that was so terrible? Really? Here's what he said. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're sending people that have lots of problems. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. He also said, a lot of the people are good people, but they're just concentrating on that. That one thing that he said is that some of them are rapists. Here's what Donald Trump had to say in response also. This is some more of what he said yesterday.
Well, I think NBC, frankly, I've had a great relationship with them. They didn't want me to run because they wanted to do The Apprentice. As you know, they renewed The Apprentice. But I just told them I cannot do The Apprentice because of the fact that I'm running. And as long as I'm running for president, they were not happy with it. They wanted me to do The Apprentice. And now with my statements on immigration, which happened to be correct, they are going to take a different stance, and that's okay. I mean, whatever they want to do is okay with me. I've had a lot of great relationship with NBC. I think as far as ending the relationship, I have to do that because my view on immigration is much different than the people at NBC. You cannot have, I know NBC might disagree with me, but you cannot have, and it's very important, illegal immigration. You don't have a country if you have that. People are coming into our country. We have no idea, and they're from all over the world. We have no idea who they are. We have to have strong borders. If we don't have strong borders, you don't have a country anymore. So I told NBC I can't change my stance. And this is one of the things I do. I say anybody that's very successful, it's hard to run for political office because you're going to upset people. The fact is my stance on immigration is correct. And some people may not think so, but ultimately my stance is correct on immigration.
But NBC just they can't they're not gonna put up with that, you know.
Well, they have a lot of White House ties.
It's NBC. This is what they said too. Donald Trump's opinions do not represent those of NBC, and we do not agree with his positions on a number of issues, including his recent comments on immigration. Look, what Donald Trump says is true. Sorry. He's speaking the truth. And maybe that's what we need. And this is why Donald Trump is resonating with a lot of people. And I think he's going to. The question is going to be whether or not he wants to go the distance. Is he in it to win it? Because you've got all these people running now. Chris Christie's going to announce today. He doesn't have a chance in hell. You've got, what are we at now? Are we at 14 with Christie?
16, my understanding is.
I don't think 16 total. Because that's if you include Scott Walker, who hasn't announced, and the guy from Ohio, the governor of Ohio, Kasich, and then it would be 16 at that point. But Donald Trump, again, I don't understand why. So you're not allowed to express your opinion about anything?
Not in this politically crazy PC country.
No. And I think people are sick and tired of Washington, and I think they're tired of politicians, and they are going to vilify him and tear him down. But he's got the money, and he's got the power. We'll be right back.
Stop just hating all the time. Come on.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports. Cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Hi, this is Ken from Online Trading Academy Phoenix. This is a very dangerous market for most people. For the last 6 years, stocks have gone straight up and everybody's a stock market genius again. More and more uninformed investors are getting into the market, borrowing against their stocks at record levels, and they have no idea what's coming. This provides a tremendous opportunity for those who are educated, but it will be ruinous to those who are unprepared. To help you both protect your current investments and learn how to profit from the crash that must come. Online Trading Academy Phoenix is offering a special 1 day before the crash class to our listeners. At this class, we will also discuss trade entries and exits, as well as my market forecast for the rest of the year. Tickets are free, but very limited, and when they're gone, they're gone. Get yours now by calling 8448-INCOME. That's 844-846-2663. Call 8448-INCOME. Come now.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
So we have a possible smoking gun with Hillary in Benghazi. Mr. Obama and then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton spoke on the phone on the night of the 2012 Benghazi attacks, but the U.S. State Department isn't prepared to reveal the content of their discussion. Details about the call are being withheld by the federal government, not because the information is classified, because the administration claims they represent internal deliberations about the 2012 terror assault. So you can basically say that about anything, you know? Well, it's classified. We can't give you that information. Hillary is also facing additional scrutiny after the State Department claims it cannot find in its records all or part of 15 work-related emails from Hillary and her private server that were released this week by a House panel investigating the 2012 attack in Benghazi. The emails all predate the September 11th assault on the facility in Benghazi and include scant words written by Clinton herself. Nevertheless, the fact that the State Department says it can't find them among emails she provided surely will raise new questions about Clinton's use of her personal email account and server while Secretary of State, and whether she has provided the agency all of her work-related correspondence as she claims. I don't think anything's going to come of this. I think they're going to sweep this under the rug. We're never going to hear about it. Well, we may hear about it, but we'll hear about it after the election. Nothing's ever going to come of this because you've got the... And you know what? You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if the White House is using this as leverage over Hillary. Basically, look, we've got these emails. You better play along. And if you don't, then hey. The people at Campus Reform, speaking about Hillary, they asked several students in Washington, they showed pictures of houses, and asked the students, like, who lives in these houses? Who do you think lives in this house or not? They had this board with pictures of houses, okay? Just to give you an idea of, again, how clueless young people are. Listen to this.
We're here right in front of the White House with our new guest named...
Allison.
Allison. So Allison's going to be playing Candidate's Cribs with us, and you are going to try and guess which candidate has lived in which mansion. First up, we've got what I'm calling the Embassy Estate. Who do you guys think of these candidates has lived in the Embassy Estate?
Let's go with Marco Rubio.
Marco Rubio. I like the way you say Rubio. Say it again.
Rubio.
I'll go with Ben Carson.
Dr. Ben Carson has lived in the Embassy States. We're going with. All right. Next up, the Countryside Castle. Who you got?
I'll go with Jeb Bush.
Jeb Bush making bank. The Hampton Hideaway, a cool $11 million. So who do you think is able to afford that?
Mark Rubio.
Senator Marco Rubio from Florida.
Ben Carson.
Ben Carson. All right. He's making that neurosurgeon money. Last, but certainly not least, is the Beachside Bungalow.
Donald Trump.
No doubt that you think Donald's the one that can afford that?
Yep. Yes.
For the Beachside Bungalow, who do we think lives in the Beachside Bungalow?
I'm going to say Marco.
Marco Rubio.
What if I told you that all four of these were Hillary Clinton?
What?
What?
What? Really? Oh, no, you're pulling my leg.
No way.
Are you serious?
Oh, wow. Are you serious?
Are you really?
Are you really?
Damn, then she does have that kind of money.
All right, well, now you're changing my opinion on the election a little bit.
I thought it was a huge possibility that Donald Trump owned one of those two, because he seemed like the wealthiest person. I thought he was the wealthiest person on the board. Now I don't know who.
Does this make Hillary seem a little bit less relatable?
Oh, yeah.
Would this make you question things a little bit if you vote for her?
Yeah, it definitely plays a factor in whether I vote for her.
Because I can see where she's spending her money instead of spending it on stuff that really matter, make a difference.
Just make it look like she's kind of hiding it, saying that she's like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. Definitely.
I mean, seems like she manages her money pretty well, but she also makes a ton of money, so she doesn't exactly know what it's like to live on a low income.
Uh-huh. For Democratic voters, you know, I think Bernie Sanders, candidates like that, are going to, like, really sort of look like the better, you know, options.
I'm very surprised. I did not know Hillary Clinton had that much money. At all. At all.
Yeah, they have no idea, but yet they're going to line up and vote for her.
We came out of the White House not only dead broke, but in debt.
But she's the champion. She's the champion of the Common Man. Steve's just laughing over there. Just amazing.
We live in a surreal world these days.
It is. It's just amazing. Like, people just don't know anything. They really don't know anything because they're so busy looking down at their phones. I'll tell you a real quick story. I was at the Met. Okay, Metropolitan Museum of Art, New York, and I'm sitting there looking at these amazing pieces of art, and people are looking at their phones. I'm like, there's Van Gogh right there. Look up, there's Van Gogh. There's Monet. There's Gauguin. And people are looking down at their phones. They're at the Met, for God's sakes, and they're looking at their phones. And that's the biggest problem, you know?
Kind of says it all.
I mean, really, that is such a metaphor, again, for life. And we're living in bizarro world. We're living in a crazy town. And again, we're talking about, you know, gay marriage, and Confederate flag. Meanwhile, the world is crumbling around us. But, you know, it goes back to, you know, what the caller said about perceptions about, you know, people want free stuff. And if you can, and the left is so good at this, these wedge issues, identity politics, gay marriage, the Confederate flag. All right, we're out of time for the day, but... check out my website, edwardwoodson.com, edwardwoodson.com. Also, if you want to listen to a show or any other past shows, go to woodsonarchive.com. That's woodsonarchive.com. Follow me on Twitter at Ed Woodson Show. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you every day to give you your fair share of the truth, because you're entitled to it. Good day, America. I'm out.
Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion.
Thank you for tuning in to the Edward Woodson Show, changing talk radio forever.
If you call yourself a conservative, why be here if you're not going to fight?
And people say, well, people don't want people fighting. People want everyone to get along, Laura. They want bipartisan agreement, Laura. This is what they want, Laura.
No, I think people don't really care about bipartisan agreement. We had a lot of bipartisan agreement in the past. Didn't work out for the people so well. What this election in November showed everybody is that the people are fed up.
Catch the Laura Ingraham Show Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. on KFNX.
From the realms of astronomy, space, aviation. This is the Dr. Sky Report.
I'm Dr. Sky with the Dr. Sky Minute from the realm of space. A special song in space. The Beatles song, Across the Universe, is 40 years old, and NASA will commemorate